Okay, today's daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We will just recap from the two lines from the bottom on Kuf Yud on the base, near the end of the line where it says Tana Rabbanon, near the bottom of Kuf Yud Omid Beis, it says Tana Rabbanon, second line from the bottom. Yeah. So we have a brisa. So we've been talking about the Mishnah that we did yesterday, and got onto the topic of when you have to pay wages. Yeah. So there's two psukim in the Torah. One pasuk says that when you've got somebody's wages to pay, you're not allowed to leave it till the morning. And then we have another pasuk which says that you have to give it on the day and it can't let the sun set. So it's two different things. One is that you're not allowed to leave the wages till the morning, and the other one is that you're not allowed to leave the wages till the evening. So we said in the Mishnah that it's going to depend on when is he working?
When is he employed?
If he's employed as a day, if the employment finishes at the end of the day, then he's got the whole night to pay. If the employment finishes at the end of the night, he's got the whole day to pay. We don't cry over spilled coffee over here in this year. That's right. Okay, so apropos of this topic of when you have to pay by Tana Rabban London Abray. So Emel the Chaver it says Sechelo Poyolim. What happens if instead of me hiring the workers directly, I get the foreman? I ask the foreman to go and hire. I ask a middleman, the agency, yeah, recruitment agency, to go and hire the workers. Shnehem ain Ovrim Mishum Baltolin. Both of them are not transgressing. If the guy doesn't pay on time, they don't transgress. He's telling you why. Zela Fishaloy Sakram. The Balabos is not over because he wasn't the one who did the hiring. And the incumbent obligation to pay the workers is based on the guy who hires them. He didn't do the hiring, so it's not his problem. Top of the page. Vizel Fishain Polosi Etzloy. The hirer, the agency or the foreman is not obligated because it's not his work. Yeah, he's just the middleman. It's the boss's work. So therefore, they're both. Nobody is obligated to pay on time. So the Gemara asked, now, hey Chedami, what are we talking about over here? When you have a middleman who hires the workers, when he goes and hires the workers, if he tells them, I will pay you. So I'm a subcontractor and I'm going to pay your wages. Yeah. Then he's the one who's obligated to pay. The Tanya learned in a brisa, if you hire a worker and you tell him that he's working for you in your field, but then when he says, okay, tell me, point me at your field and I'll go and work at it, and he showed him someone else's field, his friend's field, then even though he worked in someone else's field, you got to pay the worker. In other words, the guy who hired him has to pay. The benefit accrued to some other guy, so the hirer can go and discuss with the Baal HaBos that he wants to recoup some of the money that he gave him benefit from having the worker there. But who's obligated to the worker? The obligation to the worker is the guy who hired him. If he says, I'm responsible for your wages. Yeah. So therefore, over here also, he should be over on Loisolin. If he doesn't pay on time, he should transgress. Answers the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, we're not talking about that case. What are we talking about? He says, yes, I'm hiring, but I'm not hiring you for myself. I'm just a recruitment agency, and I'm hiring on half of the Balabayis. So therefore, he is not obligated, and the Balabayis also not. It's a technicality. Yes, you could say Shluchos Halakha Moshe, but the technicality is that we don't say that, and we say that he is not obligated. Kufiyud Aleph. Okay. Yehuda Bar Mareimar. Yehuda Bar Mareimar Omale L'Shamei. He told his servant, his helper, Zil Agilu Poyolim, go and hire workers. Ve'em alahul, and say to them, Scharchem abalabais. So he was doing it, he knew the halacha. So he knew that if he says Scharchem alai, if he promises that he's accountable for the wages, then he might have a problem of loisolin. So what does he do? He knows that if the recruiter tells him that the balabais is responsible for paying, then nobody's over. So he told him, you go and hire from me, and tell them that it's my achrayis, and then nobody's going to be over, Baal told him. And Maremar Umarzutra agri lahadodi, they made a pact with each other. I'll hire your workers, and you hire my workers, and that way neither of us will ever transgress.
It's nothing in writing, is it?
Sorry?
No, it doesn't sound like there's anything in writing.
It doesn't have to be in writing. It could be, it's, yeah.
I mean, clearly, if he says you go and hire the workers for me, and then clearly, he's shliach, and on top of that, he says that the balabos is the one who's responsible, for sure he should be.
I understand your logic, but that's the technicality that we said, that it's not, he didn't hire them. It's the person who hires. And the person who hires is only obligated if it's his own work. So it's a loophole, as they say. So they exploited this loophole. Omar Rabba Barafuna, Hani Shukoi de Surah, Lay Avri Mishum Baltolin. The people who sell stuff in the market, in Surah, they never transgress Baltolin. What do you mean never? That means that they rely on market day to get their cash flow. Yeah, so everybody knows that market day is, let's say, Monday and Thursday. If you work for me on Wednesday, I'm not going to have any cash to pay you. I have to wait until I go to the market on Thursday and I sell my stuff, and then I'll have the cash. So if I didn't pay you on Wednesday night when you worked on Wednesday, I don't transgress. Why not? Because Meidi Yadi, everybody knows, all the workers in Surah know, the Al Yoyme, the Shukka Smichi, that they're relying on their cash flow for market day. Yeah, so therefore they don't transgress Loisolin. And we also said yesterday that Loisolin only applies on the first day. The Loisase, do not leave the wages of the worker with you till morning, applies only on the first morning. But then we said yesterday, there's another thing called baltasha, do not delay. Do not delay payment. Avol mishum baltasha. But this concept of don't delay, vade over, he does transgress. That means if he doesn't pay on Thursday, when he did go to the market, from Thursday onwards, then the guy would be expecting his wages, so then he's over baltasha. So we said yesterday, we created this concept yesterday called baltasha, and we brought a posuk in Mishle that says, don't tell your friend, go and come back, tomorrow I'll pay you, etc. Don't push him off like that. The Rambam paskins that it's midrabbanon, because it's not a posuk in Chumash, it's a posuk in Mishle. And even that's not even a clear one, yeah? So it's a remez. So according to Rambam, it's only issued a bonon from the second day onwards.
Tosfos addresses your question.
He basically wanted to buy himself protection if he's too busy and he has
your,
no time to pay.
Where's Tosfos?
So, Amal Ishmael, is he largely failing?
Yeah. What's your question?
I said that if he's a shliach,
yeah.
So he's saying,
that's not what Tosfos is asking about. Tosfos is asking about morally, he's exploiting a loophole to dafka get out of it. What does that mean? That he dafka doesn't want to pay his workers? It sounds like he's being a nasty employer. Doesn't want to pay his workers. Yeah. He doesn't address your question about shlichus. Okay. We're up to two dots. Now, quoting the Mishnah said yesterday, Sechir Shois, if a person is hired not for a day. So he said, if he's hired for a day, when the day ends, you got the whole night to pay. What happens if he's only hired for part of a day? Yeah, so he's going to work till lunchtime. He works night shift and he works only till midnight. So then, if he's a Sechir Shois, it's Goiva Kol HaLaila V'Chol HaYoim. So we said that you've got the whole rest of the night. Let's say he worked at night for a few hours in the night. You've got the rest of that night plus all the rest of the next day. Yeah. is Omar Rav. And what happens if he worked in a day? Is Rav says, Sechir Shoyis de Yoim, someone who worked a few hours in the day, Goiva Kol HaYoim. You got to pay him by the end of the day. Where's Yomi? He would have liked it. Sechir Shoyis de Laila, the one who works a night shift, but not the full night. He works only a few hours of the night. Goiva Kol HaLaila, you got to pay him by the end of the night. So basically, what Rav is saying is that you've got to pay him by the end of that, what we call an oino, that's part of the day or the night, when he finished the work. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says, no, Schir Shoyis de Yoim, he agrees with the night shift guy. Sorry, we'll say it a second. Schir Shoyis, he agrees with the day shift guy that Shoyis de Yoim gave a kol yoim. If you work till lunchtime, you've got to pay him by the end of the day. But Schir Shoyis de Laila, if he worked in night shift, gave a kol halayla v'chol hayoyim. He gets an extra bonus that not only he doesn't have to pay him by the end of the night, he can pay him all the next day as well. Not like Rav. So Rav said a night worker, you got to pay by the end of the night. And Shmuel said, no, you've got till the end of the next day. Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to say. Yeah, that's.
They're putting it as how much can he collect, when does he
yeah, but that might have to happen anyway. If he finishes at midnight, then even according to Rav, I can pay him till 6 o'clock in the morning. So I could tell him come at six AM and get it, come at 5:58 and get it. Yeah. So that's the same. Question is, does he have to pay by 6 o'clock in the morning, or can he play 6 o'clock in the next evening? Yeah.
Second thing is, I think because the night, the day stands with the night.
Correct. That's going to be. So we're going to discuss tonight. We learned. So let's look at our Mishnah to see who's right. Our Mishnah said, "Aschir Shoy is Gaver Kol Alayla V'Chol Hayoyim." The Mishnah said the words that a worker who works for hours, not for day, collects that night and the next day. So it's a yufta to the Rav. That's clearly like Shmuel, because according to Rav, there's no such thing. According to Rav, it's always whichever time you finish, that's when you got to get paid. So it seems like the Mishnah is clearly like Shmuel. It's Amalach Rav. Let's start in Ketani. Rav says no, because when you read the Mishnah, it's not when it says Kol HaYoyim V'Chol HaLayla. It doesn't. It's not talking about one person who's got the night and the day. It's Litzdodi Katani. It means, depending on when he finishes, it's either Kol HaYoim or it's Kol HaLayla. Either the night or the day. That's the Rav's opinion. So that's a Rav learns a Mishnah.
And I don't see why you should appoint a certain person who's coming to collect. The extra tirchal is coming to collect. Maybe you don't pay him for the extra journey to collect. Maybe you should don't pay him. He might not live close to you.
You can't make everything.
You've got to pay till next morning, so he's got.
His second opinion is till the end of the day.
No, that's only if he finishes in the middle of the day.
The argument is just a total time pressure. There was a guy who worked all day, right? You got till next morning to pay him. He's got to wait till next morning if the other boss wants to pay him late.
Whenever you have to go home first and then come back again.
Exactly. That's in all cases, even the one that Taylor contemplates.
Yeah, but I wonder whether this discussion
with
the extra
Tirchov
coming back.
I don't believe that's the issue is brought anywhere. That's a lot for the worker. You can't give all the advantages to the unions, you know. You have to give the employer some hope. Okay, it's not. So now the Gemara tries again to prove who's right between Rav and Shmuel. In our Mishnah, we said yesterday, Hayaschir Shabbos, if a guy is hired on a weekly basis. Yeah, Schir Shabbos, or Schir Chodesh, or a monthly basis. Schir Shana, or a yearly basis, or Schir Shavuah, or a seven-yearly basis. So then, when do you have to pay? Is Yoytze B'Yoyim, if the time was up during the day. So you said, I'm hiring you for 7 years starting now. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, on Yud Zayin Tevis, 7 years hence, that's when you finish. That's exactly 7 years, in the middle of the day. Yoytze B'Yoyim, if he finishes in the middle of the day, Goiva Kol HaYoyim. Then he is entitled to get paid during that day, the rest of that day. Yoytze b'layla, if he finishes at night, Goiva Kol HaLayla v'chol hayoyim. Then it's all the night plus all the next day. This again seems like Shmuel, that if you finish in the night, you get that night plus the next day. So how's Rav going to get out of that one? It's Amalok Rav, and there it's clearly differentiated between Yoytze b'yoyim and Yoytze b'layla. So Rav can't say that the second case is talking about both. It says clearly, Yoytze b'layla, if he finishes at night, then you've got all that night plus the next day. It's Amalok Rav, so Rav will say, Tanoihi. Yeah, you're right. I don't agree with the Mishnah. He can't. There's no way Rav can explain the Mishnah should go according to him. So he says it's a machlokes Tanoim. that we have another Tana who's going to say like Rav did Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Sechir Shois to Yoim, someone who's hired to work certain hours during the day, Goiva Kol Ayoim, he's entitled to collect it by the end of the day. Sechir Shois to Laila, if he's working in the night, Goiva Kol Laila, then he's entitled only till the end of the night. Divir Rabbi Yehuda, those are the words of Rabbi Yehuda, which is exactly like Rav. But Rab Shimon says, Sechir Shois to Yoim, Goiva Kol Ayoim. Taki, if he finishes in the day, you've got till the end of the day. Shreshois to Laila, but if he works in the night, Goiva Kol Laila V'Chol Ayoim, he can collect, he can pay him until the end of the next day. So the Machlokes is in Rav and Shmuel, seems exactly the Machlokes is in Rabbi Yehuda and Rab Shimon. Mikan Omru, from here we said, that Kol HaKovir Shechar Socher, because there's both the day and the night situation, therefore the rabbi said that the concept of delaying somebody's wages, someone who does it, is over behei shemos va'asei halolu. He is transgressing. There are five lois asays associated with delaying wages. We're going to say that not all five apply to every case, because we're going to count the day guy and the night guy, and it, obviously you're either one or the other. But in general, that means there are five lois asays to do with delaying wages, plus one asay. And he's going to count them now. Mishum, bal tashrik esrecha. Do not, how do we translate? Ashrik, who? Oppress, yeah. But it means financial oppression, yeah. Do not rip off. Maybe that's a good translation. Do not rip off your friend. Okay. Do not financially persecute your friend. So that's one.
What is saying? Do not retain or do not withhold what belongs to another person.
Is that what Tash? That's how it translates Tashrik. Okay. Fine. Withhold. Or mishum bal tigzol. Don't steal. It also comes in the general category of not stealing. Or mishum bal tashrik sochir oni. There's another special one for a poor person. Do not. So tashrik, it's the same word. Tashrik is reacha. Tashrik is sochir oni v'evyin. It's the wages of a poor man. Or mishum bal tolin. And then there's the one about not leaving it with you until the morning. Don't leave it overnight. Or mishum b'yom esit en scharai. Here's the mitzvah asay. The asay is pay his wages on the day when it's due. And mishum lo savi olav hashemesh. Do not allow the sun to set without having paid. So that's the list of Averis. Is Hani the Ikebiyamom Alekabilaya. So the Gemara just points out that when we say there's five Loisaseis, it doesn't mean that in one episode it's going to be five. Because the ones that apply to a day worker do not apply to a night worker. But the Ikebilayla level Kabiyamom. The ones in the night don't apply to the day. And Omar of Chizda Shem Schirus Bialma. The Bryce is only telling you in general regarding paying wages, there are five lois days. Not in one particular case, you'll do all five. Okay, now, Ezehu Oishik v'Ezehu Gozel. Okay, we were debating how to translate Oishik, so the Gemara will help us out maybe. Yeah, what is the definition of Oishik compared to Gozel? Gozel, we always translate stealing, yeah? But Oishik, we had a bit of struggle with. I don't know what Art Scroll said. Yeah, so how do you translate Oishik? How do you translate Gozel? Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says like this: Lech v'shuv, lech v'shuv. If you tell the guy, "I'll come back later," zehu oishik. In other words, you're not saying I'm not going to pay you. You're not telling him, "Forget it." You just keep pushing him off, fobbing him off.
Checks in the mail.
Come back later. Checks in the mail. Yeah. So that's called oishik. It's you're sort of financially persecuting him, but you're not just telling. You're not telling him. Yeah, but I spilled coffee all over it, right? So you're not denying the whole idea. You're just pushing him off. So that's oishik. If you tell him, if you say, yeah, I owe you money, but I'm not paying, so get lost. Zehu gozel, that is outright stealing. Yeah, when you say, I'm not going to pay you at all. So that's oishik and that's gozel. Masculine of Shazer. Rav Shazer says, wait a second. We have a Mishnah. So if you look in Parshas Vayikra, we have a concept of a korban osham, when a person swears falsely, denying that he owes somebody money, he has to bring a korban osham, right? V'chichish ba'amisa, if he kodon, o'be'gazel, or he stole something, oi oshak es amisa. And there it says, if he did the same word, oishak, then he denies it, he swears falsely, he has to bring a korban. So this Mishnah tells us, Ezehu Oishak Shechival of Torah Korban. When the Torah says in that pasuk, Oy Oshak Es Amisoy, what exactly is that Oshak Es Amisoy for which the Torah says the punishment is that he has to bring a Korban Osham? Dumya the Pikodin, because the pasuk starts with V'chichesh Ba'amisoy V'fikodin. Yeah, so there's a list of four things that Torah gives for which a person is obligated this korban. One of them is a pikodin. The first one is a pikodin. What's a pikodin? A pikodin means I gave you my thing to look after, and when I come and say, "Can I have it back now, please?" you say, "No, it doesn't. I don't have it. It never happened, or it was stolen, or I haven't got it, whatever." And you completely deny it. You're not giving it back to me. That's the kafra lemamina. So you were denying. So what are you doing? You're telling me I'm not giving it to you. That's oishik. So what are you telling me? Whoever it was, Rav Chisda. That oishik means where you just fob him off. You're not denying entirely. You're just telling him to come back later. That you said was oishik. The Mishnah says that oishik is where you're actually denying that you owe money. Yeah. So your definition of oishik is incorrect, Rav Chisda. Elam Rav Sheshes, therefore says Rav Sheshes, if he says Nesativ Lach, so Gezel is Take, yeah, I'm not paying you. Here's a gun, you come back again, I'll shoot you, right? That's Gezel. What about Oishik? Oishik is Nesativ Lach. If he says, I paid you already, he lies, and he says, I paid you already, Zehu Oishik. If he says, Yeshlecha B'yadi Ve'in and Oishik Lach, if he just says, I'm not paying you, what are you going to do about it? Zehu Gezel, then that is thievery. So that's Rav Sheshes' translation of these two. There's Maskif Lo Abaya. So Abaya says, just a second, if you look in that same Mishnah which talks about the definition of these four things for which a person has to bring a korban when he denies, one of them is Gezel also. So what's the definition of Gezel over there? Ezehu Gezel Shechiv Olav Torah Korban. What's the definition of Gezel? It's also Dumi the Pikodin Be'inon. It's also like Pikodin the Kakafale Mamayna. Yeah? So if he says that you owe me money and I'm not paying, what do I mean kafal abamayna? That means denying that he owes it. Yeah. So by saying according to the Torah's definition of gezel, it means you deny that you owe it. If you admit that you owe it and you just say I'm not paying for no particular reason, that's not gezel according to the Mishnah. So you still don't have a good definition of gezel. You've worked out oishik, Rav Sheshes, but you haven't worked out gezel. Yeah, so what's Gezel? Elam or Abaya. So Abaya says like this. If you say, if you deny that anything ever happened, I never hired you. You come to me and say, where's my wages? And I say, what are you talking about? You never worked for me. Zehu Oishik. So that's Oishik. He's denying it, and it's costing money. He's denying altogether. He's not saying, come back later. He's saying, get lost. If he says, Nesativ Lach, so he's also denying money. I'm not going to pay it. But he's not saying it never happened. He's saying it happened, but I paid you already. Zehu Gezel. That is the definition of Gezel. Yeah, that he's admitting that there was such a transaction, but he's saying I'm no longer obligated. Okay, so that's what Abaye concludes. Now, let's go back to Rav Sheshes for a minute. Rav Sheshes said that Oishik is where he said, I refuse to pay you. And sorry, Oishik was that I already gave you. And Oishik was I owe it to you, but I just refuse to pay. Well, Rav Sheshes, what was his problem? Rav Sheshes wanted to say when we started off with Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that Oishik is when you just fob him off, and Rav Sheshes, it can't be fobbing him off. It has to be an actual denial of money. Yeah. And what was his problem? His problem was Oishik. Yeah. According to Rav Sheshes, Maishna Oishik the Kashalei, or Maishna Gezel the Loi Kashalei. Why didn't he have a problem? According to Rav Sheshes, yeah, he said, Yeshlecha B'yadi Ve'eini Noisen Lach Zehu Gezel. Yeah, as Abaye pointed out to Rav Sheshes, if you say that you owe me, I agree that I owe you the money, but I'm just not paying, that's not what the Mishnah says is Gezel. So how can Rav Sheshes ask a Kasha of Chizda from the first sentence in the Mishnah that your definition of Oishik doesn't match the Mishnah, and then not ask him about the second sentence in the Mishnah about Gezel, because his definition doesn't match that either. And it needs the buyer to come and tell Rav Sheshes that his Gezel definition's wrong. Why didn't Rav Sheshes pick up on the Gezel bit as well? Zomalach, so Rav Sheshes will tell you, Gezel, because Gezel is the gozle v'hoda kofre. What's gezel? Gezel means first you stole it, and then you denied it. Yeah. So therefore, if a guy says that I owe it to you, but I'm not paying, that fits in with the definition of gezel. Yeah. Because even though he's denying it, but that's how gezel works. Gezel means I agree that I took it, but I'm not giving back. Yeah. So and then he denies it. He denies it. So therefore, that's the same thing over here. Fred Gemara, so you're telling me what he denied it later. So what happened? He started off by admitting it, and then he denied it. That's how gezel works. When are you chayav korban for stealing? Not for the actual act of stealing, but for denying it later and swearing falsely. Yeah, and that's what we're talking about over here. Rav Shesha says, "Ihachi, if that's what we're talking about over here, I feel the way Sheknami to hold the kofre. So why don't you? What's your problem with the guy who fobs him off and says, "Come back later"? Why can't you translate that as saying, first he fobs him off and says, "Come back later," and eventually he just says, "Don't come back at all"? Yeah, so that should be chayv. That should be the same thing. So Rav Chizda should be okay. Answer the Gemara, "Hachi hashta." How can you say that? Bishla mahasam. When it says gezel, ksiv oy begozel, the pasuk says begozel. That means he denied a thievery. What's the fact you deny a thievery? If you deny anything, then you're just denying that there was. You're saying there was no thievery. What do you mean you deny a thievery? The first you agreed there was a thievery, and then you denied it. Yeah. So there's two stages, and the chiv of the korban is for denying it. So that's the definition of gezel means that there's two stages. You stole it, and then you swore falsely. It doesn't say that he denied an oishek. Yeah? By gezel, it says he did a gezel, and then he denied it. So there's two steps. By oishek, it doesn't say that he did an oishek and then denied it. All it says is one thing. He did oishek. So the chiv of korban is already for oishik. So oishik itself has to be some type of activity where the act of the oishik itself is denying money. Yeah, the gezel is a two-stage thing. First he steals, then he denies. But oishik, there's only one step. So that step itself must be denial, and that's what makes him chayav korban. And therefore the fobbing off situation, which is not a denial, says Rav Sheshes, that cannot be what the definition of oishik is. Yeah, because there is no point in oishek where there is a complete denial. Sorry, there has to be. I'm taking back. There has to be a complete denial, and just telling him to come back later, that is not a complete denial. Rava Amar, Rava says, "What are you guys talking about? Oishek, gozel. It's all the same thing. Zehu oishek, zehu gozel. It all means ripping off. Yeah, you're stealing, you're oisheking, you're gezeling. It's all the same thing." The lama chilka rakasa. So why does the Torah put two things? Oishek leisashek and leisigzel. Lava la mishnei lavin. Because the Torah wants to give you five leisaseis. Torah wants to make it a really horrible thing to do and say that if you do it, you're transgressing multiple averus. So the Torah gave you, and it couldn't just say leisigzel for leisigzel because that's not poetically nice. So the Torah found a synonym and said leisashek. So they have two leisaseis. Yeah, you don't need all this lumdus about what's the definition of oishek or the gozel. It's all the same thing. Okay. So that's the talking about the timing. Now we talk about what's sort of working. Says the Mishnah, Echad Schar Adam, whether it be the wages of a person, you hired a person to work for you, the Echad Schar Behema, or you hired a donkey to work for you, the Echad Schar Kalim, or you hired a plow to work for you. Oh, yeah, you can get it any old how. Yesh Bay Mishum B'yoymoy Sitein Scharoi. It has the Yaveira, or the mitzvahs are say that you must pay the wages in the day. And it has the night version of that, which is do not allow the work of the worker to remain with you until morning. So it's person work, it's animal work, it's kalim work, all three.
Normally it's like, oh, the Torah has been so nice because the work
still labor. Yeah,
but here he's got a business. He's renting out animals. He's renting out things.
It's not. I don't think it's the idea that he's the worker. I think he's the poor. It's the poor and downtrodden versus the rich and wealthy.
What happens if he's got a whole business renting out for him?
What if he's got a whole business renting out people? What if he's a contractor on $4,000 a day? Toga doesn't distinguish how much he's getting paid. He could get, could be the workers richer than the Bala boss. Well, okay, we don't know. The Torah doesn't distinguish between how rich the worker is, how rich the renter is, or anything. It's a general rule that applies to everybody. Yeah. Emosai, when is it that you have these averis? Bisman shatovai. The guy's got to ask for his wages. Loi tovai, if the guy didn't come, the guy never came to collect, any overlove, you don't transgress. If you don't send the invoice, then that's it. Then it's not the guy's problem. What happens if you told him, you instructed the shopkeeper, the guy needs to go to Kohl's. I was going to say Rishon, but he's not here. The guy needs to go to Kohl's. So instead of me giving you cash, I tell him, I'll give you a voucher to Kohl's. Yeah? And I instruct Kohl's to pay, to you come to do your shopping and you'll get your shopping for free. And I'll pay the Kohl's. Yeah? So once I make that arrangement, oh yeah, it's a shulchani, or with the bank. I tell the bank to pay you. I guess that means I write a check, and then the bank will give you the cash. Yeah, is then ain't it over a lov? You're no longer transgressing. Yeah, that's called paying. Sachir bizmanoi, we've come across this before. On the day when it's due, if the balabayis says I paid, and the worker says I haven't been paid, so then we say the worker nishpa v'noitel. He takes an oath that he hasn't been paid. And he gets paid. So we believe him because we said that the employer is busy with all his workers. He can make a mistake and think he paid this one when he didn't. Whereas the worker is much more certain that he knows whether he's been paid or not. But if it's later, 3 days later, the guy comes along and says, I haven't been paid. And the owner says, yeah, I paid you back 3 days ago. And he can't take it by swearing. Because at that point, we say, we don't have any more reason to believe him, because if he really wanted his wages, he would have come on the day. But if there are witnesses that he came on Monday and asked for it, and the guy told him, come back later, and then he comes back on Thursday, and he says, I still haven't been paid, then I raise an issue with it. That is equivalent to being the day of the wages. As long as he claimed, as long as he asked for it in the time and the guy didn't pay him, then later on he can say, I still haven't been paid, because we have witnesses that he wasn't paid immediately when he was supposed to be. Ger Toishov. What happens if he's not Jewish? He's a Ger Toishov. A Ger Toishov is a non-Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he accepts upon himself the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and he's a fine, upright citizen. Yeah, so there are certain halachas in which we have to treat him better than your average common thug yok. Yeah. So the Ger Toishov, the local yokel, yesh by mishum b'yemesit etzchorei. So if you hire a non-Jewish worker, you've also got the assay of paying him on time in the day. The aim by mishum estal pulas sachret b'abayka. That's an interesting one. That there it's different. We're going to learn that from the psukim, that if he's a night worker, you got to pay him in the day, you've got the same mitzvah, but you don't have the loisa, say, if he's a day worker, of not paying him until the morning. We're going to discuss all of these things in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, first of all, Mani Mastisin, who is the author of this Mishnah who has all these different opinions? Because these opinions are going to seem to contradict each other. We'll see in a second. Loi tana kama de me'achecha, v'loi Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. We have a brisa which talks about the posuk me'achecha, from your brother. And there's a Tana Kama in that brisa, and there's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Mahi, what am I talking about? The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Turn the page. Here's the brisa. So it says, Lo sashik achir oni ve'evyoin. Do not, how did I translate Goshik in the end? Do not rip off the wages of the poor man and the very poor man. Me'achecha, from your brothers. So from your brothers, you would say, means a Jew, right? That's a checha. Is prat la'achirim, so that excludes others who are not your brothers, a non-Jew. But then it says, oy migercha, the pasuk then continues, or from the stranger, the ger. What's a ger? Is a ger tzedek, that's a convert. He's converted and now he's a Jew. Yeah, then it says, bisharecha, in your gates. It's all continuing the pasuk. The next word in the pasuk is in your gates. Who is in your gates, who is neither your brother nor a ger? Ze oichon avelis. That's a guy who is eating. He lives amongst you, and he eats treif. But so he's not Jewish, but he's like it says about a treifa. That what do you do if you have it? Like gera shabisharechet itnena v'achala. Yeah. What do you do if you have meat that's not kosher? So you don't eat it. You give it to the stranger who is living amongst you. What does that mean? Your non-Jewish neighbor, who's a good bloke. You give it to him to eat. Yeah. When you're at work and they give you chocolates for Christmas, so you give it to one of your colleagues. You don't eat it. Yeah. Even though it's tempting, chocolate. Yeah. Hey, chocolate biscuits. Yeah, it's, anyway. So therefore, that means that what? That if he's a ger toshav, he also you have to pay him. Ein liyelus charadom. Then we said, how do I? That from that we only learn about a person's labor. Minayin the rabbis behemah v'chelim. How do I know to include an animal and also a kelim? Talmud lemer ba'artzecha. It also says in that pasuk, in your land, kol she ba'artzecha. Anything that's in your land, including animals and kelim. V'chulon ivrim. And all of them have all of these five lois haseis and one hasei, which we quoted before. As mikan nomer, from here we summarize. Echad schar adam, whether it be a person's efforts. Ve'echad schar behema, whether it be the wages for an animal. Ve'echad schar kelim, whether it be rent for implements. Yesh bei mishum b'yomis yitin scharoi, you have to pay him on the day. Ve'yesh behem mishum kol baltali pula sachir, and it has the concept of not leaving it till the night. So that's the Tanakhama's opinion, that all those things are included. And so obviously at one point there, the last bit is the one that's going to be the problem for him, with our Mishnah. We'll say in a second. Rabbi Yisib, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer. The second opinion in the Brisa is that a ger toshav yesh b'mishum b'yemetit in tzcharoi. He has the concept of b'yemetit in tzcharoi, but in b'mishum loy tolin. The one of the day he does have, the one of the night he doesn't have, which is what our Mishnah said. But he says animals and kelim do not have all of these avails, they only have baltashik. Yeah, so that is not like our Mishnah. So each one of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda do not exactly agree with our Mishnah. As the Gemara explains money, so who's our Mishnah? If it's the first time in that brisa, kasha ger toshav, because he said that a ger toshav has the both yom asita and scharoi and bal tolin, yeah, both the day and the night. And our Mishnah said he doesn't have the night shift. And Rabbi Yosi kasha behem v'kelim. Rabbi Yosi by Yehuda says it doesn't apply to animals and kelim, and our Mishnah says it does. So who is the author of our Mishnah? It's Amar Rava, Hai Tana, Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel. It's a third Tana, which is the Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel, the Shivas of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel. Echad Tzchar Adam, Echad Tzchar Behemov, Echad Tzchar Kelim, whether it's a person or an animal or Kelim, Yesh Pei Bishum B'yom Esitin Tzcharoi. It has both the daytime payment requirement, Ubishum Le Solin, and the nighttime payment, but a Ger Toshav, the non-Jew who lives amongst you, Yesh Pei Bishum B'yom Esitin Tzcharoi, Ve'em Pei Bishum Baltolin. Okay, that is exactly what our Mishnah says. So we have a three-way argument, yeah, about exactly when does it all apply. Now let's understand the reasoning behind all these things. It's my time with the Tanakhama, to Me'achecha. What is the reasoning behind the Tanakhama, the first guy of that Brisa? Yeah, because, so he says that it applies, for the Ger Toshav, it applies both the day and the night. Why is it so? Gomar Socher Socher. Because it only says Gercha, he learned Bisharecha. Yeah, the Bisharecha. He included the Ger Toshav from the word Bisharecha, yeah, from the gates. Who's in the gates? The guy, the Ger Toshav. Yeah, but that only it says by the night shift, yeah, the day shift, yeah, the night payer. How do I know to put that? Sorry, all the way around. It only says it on the one who's, yeah, he works night shift and he has to be paid in the day. So how does he know to put it also on the pulas, on the one who has to be paid in the night? Because he has a gzeres shava. In both the day and the night, it says the word sachir. So he says it applies to both. Even though it only talks about the ger toshav in one, we apply it to both. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, lo gamar sachir sachir. He doesn't learn that gzeres shava. So therefore, he doesn't apply it to both. Yeah. So the Gemara says, oy bazoi nehi. The loy gomer socher socher. So if Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn socher socher, abe behemah v'kelim yishuv yom yitin schar namin nechay. Why does he exclude the animals and the kelim? Yeah, we said ba'artzecha includes everything. So what's his reason for not including everything? He says that it doesn't apply at all to animals and kelim. It's Tani Rabbi Chanina, because Amar Kra v'loy savi olav Hashemesh ki onihu. Don't let the sun set on him without paying, because he's poor. Mishahin boy in the day on Nius Vashira. So that applies to a person. People can be poor and rich. Yatsu behem of a chelim, an animal and a plow. She'enam boy in the day on Nius Vashira. You can't say an animal, oh, that's a poor donkey, hasn't got much money. That's a rich donkey. That's a rich plow, a poor plow. You don't have that. So therefore, it only applies to people, says Rabbi Yehuda.
Maybe it shouldn't be based on poor or rich. Maybe it should be based on your own.
What the Torah says, Oni ve'evyen. Yeah, ki oni hu. V'tanakama ha ki oni hu mayavile. So what does the Tanakama do with the word ki oni? If he says it applies to animals, you don't have poor donkeys. He's a homi boyle, that's different. That oni is needed. Lahaktim oni la osher. If you have a choice, you've only got enough money to pay one of your workers, and one of them is poor and the other one's rich, you got to pay the poor one first. Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda says, I don't need that pasuk, because you've got another pasuk that talks about not holding back the wages of an oni ve'evyon. The Tanakama, what do I need two pasukim for? Chad lahaktim oni la'osher, one is to put the poor man before the rich man. V'chad lahaktim oni la'evyon, and the other one is to say the poor man goes before the very poor man. This is a bit counterintuitive. A poor man goes before the very poor man. Why is it so? Utzricha needs to tell me both. Diashmin and Evyoin, why is it that the poor man goes before the very poor man? Because the very poor man, he's used to walking around the shul, tzedakah, tzedakah. So therefore, he's not embarrassed to claim. So therefore, in a way, he is more likely to get his money than this person who's stam poor, but not that poor. Because he's embarrassed to go around asking for help. And therefore, he's likely to remain silent, and he's going to suffer more than the very poor man. So therefore, you've got to take care of him first. Aval osher dekos lemitpei, but a guy who's rich, he's even more embarrassed to go around asking for money. So maybe the rich man should come before the poor man. So therefore, Torah says, no, the poor man comes before the rich man too. V'yashmin and osher, if it told me only that he comes before the rich man, mishub delay tzorichle, the rich man doesn't need the money yet, so let him wait. But the very poor man, the tzarich lehi, who needs the money, therefore, he shouldn't have to wait till after the poor man, therefore, tzricha needs both. And the Tana, okay, now, the Gemara asks, Vaiter, the Tana did on, in our Mishnah, Manavshah, how do you learn over here? If you have the Gzeir Shava, like the Tanakam of the Brisa, afilu ger toishav nami, then the ger toishav should be over for both, for day shift and night shift. And lo yoliv sachir, if he doesn't learn Sakhir, like Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda, it's Behemah v'Chelim in Olay. So how come he says that Behemah and Chelim are included? A ton of our Mishnah is having it both ways. So how does that work? So the Gemara says, La'ilam la'yolim Sakhir. He doesn't learn the Gzeir Shavah. The Shani Hasav, he doesn't learn the Gzeir Shavah. How does he know Behemah v'Chelim? The Omar Kra, V'loy Salim Pu'ulas Sakhir Itchad Boiker. Because in the other Pasuk, it talks about the worker of a Sakhir. He learns from the word itcha, kosher, pulasa, itcha, anything that's with you, that you owe money, whether it be for personal exertion, whether it be for behemah exertion, whether it be kalim, is your chayiv. Fred Gemay Hachi, if it's anything, is afilu ger toishav nami, so why doesn't he include the ger toishav in both leisaseis? Because amakra, reyacha, v'lo ger toishav. So we're excluding one thing, and we're including one thing. Is he hachi afilu behemah kalim nami? If it says reyacha, v'lo ger toishav, it should be reyacha, and not your animal. So he says, Aksiv itcha, but it says itcha, anything that's with you. So what itcha tells you to include everything? Reyacha tells you to exclude something. Is Mara Isa the Rabbis Bevahem of the Kalim Hotziger Toshav? How did you decide which one you're going to exclude and which we're going to include? Is Mistavra, it's logical, Bevahem of the Kalim Havalel Rabbis, you should include Bevahem and Kalim, Shekain Yeshdom Bechwal Mom and Reyacha, because it's your friend's money, even though it's not their money, but it's your friend's money. Ger Toshav, Ene Bechwal Mom and Reyacha, and Ger Toshav is not your friend. What does he do with Reyacha? Because he does include the Ger Toshav. He needs Reyacha v'lo Amaleki. Amaleki is excluded. Amaleki is the Chagoy. You don't need a special pasuk just for an Amaleki. So he says, Chad l'mishre oishkei v'chad l'mishre gozloi. For the Amaleki, you have two psukim. One that you're allowed to not pay him, and one that you're allowed to steal from him. Utsrichan needs to tell me that. When you steal something from him, so it means he stole something, you can steal it off him, that stolen object. So therefore you would say, why is he allowed to do that? Because he didn't work for it in the first place. He stole it, so I can steal it from him. But when I owe him wages, to not pay him the tarach kape. He worked for me, emaloy. You would think that you're not allowed to suppress his wages. V'yashmin an oishka, if it tells me I can't suppress his wages, mishum deleyasa leyodei. I would say, why is he excluded? Because he hasn't got it yet. I'm not taking anything from him. I'm just not paying him. Avol gozle, but when he's got it in his hand, and I'm taking, snatching it away from him, the asa leyodei, it's already in his hand, emaloy, I might think you're not allowed to. Therefore, tzricha, therefore it's needed. But Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda, haile salim pula sacherit chad boikem, what does he need that for? Because the itcha, because he doesn't learn the behemah and kelim. Even if he's only hired for one little job to pick one cluster of grapes, is already over mishum baltolin. The idach and the other guy, may elav hunoses nafsha nafke. He learns it out from elav hunoses nafsha. He's lifting up his eyes to that wages. What do you mean he's lifting up his eyes? Dover ha-moser nafsha, love that he is moser nefesh. So if you're moser nefesh to climb to the top of the tree to pick the fruit, doesn't matter whether you're picking one fruit or 10 fruit. The fact that you climb to the top of the tree is already mesiris nefesh. So he learns that from elav hunoses nafsha. The idach, the other guy, he doesn't learn from there. Humi boiler, that elav hunoses nafsha is learning the chedetanya. The elav hunoses nafsha, nema olaz ha-bekevesh, the nitla be'ilon ha-moser snatzmi l'misa. Why does the guy go up on the ramps and he hangs himself from a tree and he gets himself in danger to abseil down the building? It's only because of his wages. So it's just teaching you a moral thing. That what does it mean? That anybody who doesn't pay the wages, it's as if he takes his soul away and he kills him. We'll stop here. All right, that's in the middle one.